Fagan.
And I'm Steve Ball.
And we're back with another issue of The Scribble Show.
Yes.
A beautiful sunny evening again.
Absolutely, Neil.
It is, stunning, isn't it? Summer's back.
For today,
yeah. It's going to rain tomorrow. Yes. But big day tomorrow. It could be, as Boris Johnson said last night, our Independence Day tomorrow.
Well, we will wait and see. It's for us to decide.
Okay.
I'll be glad when it's over, Neil.
Yeah, we too.
I've heard the same arguments time and time again.
For all of you out there who have been watching the elections with regards to the referendum where we're coming out of Europe, it must be driving you mad, because it's been driving Steve and I nuts for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's been on the TV virtually every night. So tomorrow night, fortunately, it'll be all over. One way or the other,
yes,
that is for sure.
And then we need to get on with it, whatever the decision.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to bring a bit of lightness to everybody and a bit of cheer, we're going to run the Scribble Show tonight. And this is going to be the last one for the summer break. This is our broadcast break during the summer months. We're going to be off air for about...
Six weeks.
Yeah, about
mid-August, we said, I think, Neil, didn't we, last
year?
Yeah,
mid-August we'll be back. So you won't have us for the whole six-week period.
Please
no
don't
idea what
cry.
You're going to do. Yeah, please. But please send those messages of hope you're having a great holiday to Steve and I, as we're sat bathing in the rain somewhere on the south coast. Oh, by the fun. So let's get the show rolling tonight. We're going to play the first one. Is by Laura Romig. It's been read by Alan Johnson. It's called Raindrops and Candlelight. Have a listen and see what you think to this.
The thunder sounds like drums, the tinkling of the rain outside. The pitter-patter of the raindrops, like the tinkling sounds of a piano. In my home, the candlelight dances on the walls and windows. The flickering of the candles moves in perfect harmony with the rain. My thoughts drift, as they often do, to the gentle, loving heart of a man of passion in love with life. I dream that tender love I feel lives within his heart, my voice dancing like the candlelight inside his mind. Dreams of happiness living in his heart, as soft and warm as the candlelight. I close my eyes and see him clearly. The tears run down my face, my heart, my mind wandering. Is his love as true as mine? Do our hearts beat as one? Breathing deeply, all I can do is listen to the pitter-patter of the rain.
Oh, what a really nice way to start the programme off. Raindrops and Candlelight, written by Laura Romig. That was a really good way of starting
and
the programme off.
Well delivered by Alan.
It was, yeah.
How's
really
he
well
doing,
read.
Neil, do you know?
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. He's feeling a lot fitter. He's back doing the World Comes to You show, which is great, because while we're off air for the next 6 weeks, people can tune in on a Saturday and get their fill of poetry from the World Comes to You. He's doing well. He's doing okay. He's in good spirits. He's doing a really good job. It's just going to take him a bit of while to get back to full fitness. But yeah, it's working well for him. But you were away last week. You were up in the North East, weren't you, for a
I think I was, Neil. Yeah. I spent a week surrounded by a sea fret.
A sea fret?
Yes.
What's a sea fret?
It's a fog.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was a dreek, which is like a mizzle, drizzle.
Yeah?
I saw the sun for 5 minutes on Wednesday. But I had a great time, Neil.
Yeah.
And food for thought for a few more poems about Northumberland.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, which would be really good. Because you went to the Farne Islands as well.
I went to the Farne Isles on a boat.
Yeah.
Came back on a boat as well.
Yeah, it's kind of handy, really. Long way to swim.
Yes. Just staggering, Neil, the number of birds on the island.
Really?
Tens and tens of thousands.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. Well, we're not going to tell you where Steve goes, because we don't want thousands of people flocking
I've just
there.
Told them, Neil. Northumberland in the Farne Isles sort of gives it away.
Yeah, you can kind of work out where it is.
Yes.
But it sounds great. Sounds like
it's always raining there.
Always raining, yeah. So I'm going to go south instead.
Okay.
Right. I was talking to Ryan Woods earlier this week, and he appeared on the World Comes to You show in an interview last week. And I said to Ryan, as this is going to be the last one in the series, this broadcast series, and we're back in August, I'd like you to record something for me to play on the show. And he's recorded this one called Night Train to Valhalla.
Mm.
It's quite a personal poem, this.
So Valhalla is a Viking word, I think.
It is, yeah. Valhalla is where the Vikings thought they were going to go when they died.
Right.
So
so it's not Flint.
Not Flint, no. Oh. Contrary to belief.
Okay.
Have a listen.
Hello, everyone. This is Ryan Woods, otherwise known as the Chocolate M&M. This is a poem I wrote as a tribute to anyone who's ever felt like the world has kind of disowned them. It's also a salute to those people who see potential where others don't see potential and realise that just placing your faith in somebody and seeing that potential can completely turn that person's life around. This is entitled Night Train to Valhalla, and I hope that you all enjoy it. The troubled teenagers sat uneasy in their chairs, looking down at the ground. Not one of them wanted to stir at the person stood before them. Not one of them made a sound. What could he tell them that they hadn't already been told? But sit they did, even raise their heads, and eventually witness the magic unfold. "Do you like stories?" he began. "Do you? Do you like tales of hope and glory? Then lend me your ears and open your hearts and your minds, and you will find that there is magic all around. Seek, and ye shall find. Make yourselves comfortable. I'm about to start. My name is not important, though I do play a part in this fable. All you need to know is that I drive the train, the night train, the night train to Valhalla. Let me tell you a story about a lost girl. Her name was Lyric Storm, and it fit her like a glove. Her life was a concerto of disillusionment, a maelstrom of unrequited love and unrealized dreams. Music had been her salvation, at least in the beginning. But before long, she found herself swimming in a pool of unworthiness, drowning in her moments of mediocrity. She was fragile and broken, like a fine china teacup, one that no amount of glue or disingenuous goodwill was ever going to stick back together again. It would hold her together for only so long before the cracks would reappear, becoming scars of desolation etched into her skin during moments of frustration that coiled around her like a razor wire straitjacket. She would carve tic-tac-toe grids into her arms with a rusty razor blade because she said that she felt like a naught, like a zero, like a nothing. She didn't need a hero. She just needed someone to believe in her. That's where I came in. October 31st, 2359, she stood on a railway platform, staring down the line, waiting for any train to roll in so that she could check out. There would be no drama. No need to shout. She never saw me coming. My train, that is governed by no timetable and by no physical laws, rolled along the tracks as silently as the voice of every bullied child, every victim of domestic violence, and every downtrodden minority group that screams silently into the deaf ears of those who won't listen, and came to rest alongside her. I opened the doors, and sensing something that she could not comprehend, she stepped on board and became a legend. You are the strays, you are the lost, tossed away by society, discarded like fast food wrappers. Together you are legion. She stepped on board defeated and stepped off a champion. On board she stared at the windows, but the windows were not windows, they were TV screens, each one playing scenes of strife and a montage of melancholy that she called life, scenes from a play wrote by her hand and wrote from each and every breath that she had taken while trying to understand and comprehend her place in the scheme of things. So many dreams unfulfilled, so many nightmares to endure. Idle promises dangled like a lure in her path, the aftermath of which slapped her in the face like toxic waste. But where others saw a waste of time, I saw potential. And I showed her images of what she could achieve. Wonders await those who believe in themselves. And when the screens fell silent, you could have heard a pin drop. And if your hearing had been fine-tuned enough, you would have heard the rustle of hers on the back of her neck. You would have heard the goosebumps breaking out in her flesh. So I stand here in front of you, and offer you that same glimmer of hope, shimmer, like a firefly amidst a night of darkest bitter treacle. Know that you have no equal. Your time of languishing in the shadows has ceased. Let the magic inside of you be released. Shine with the luminosity of a supernova. Explode with the ferocity of a tsunami. Allow it to wash away all your doubts. Shout from the rooftops, this is my time. This is my design. Do not be denied your time in the limelight. Fight for your place in the world. This is your birthright. So make a stand and protest at the gates of injustice until they succumb like the walls of Jericho to the fanfare of the common man. So arise. Like the warriors that you were born to be, this is not about them. This is not about me. This is about you. So rise. Rise and shine like the champions that you are, because you are gold.
You see, what I like about that is Ryan writes these great stories. And the bit that I really love about that is that people have just got to have that self-belief.
Mm.
You've just got to believe in yourself.
Mm.
You've just got to say, this is for me. This is what I'm going to do, going to be doing. I'm going to crack on and do it because I'm worthy.
Yeah, I seem to recall you did an interview with Ryan very early on.
I did.
Scribbles. Early days,
yeah, there. Probably the second show.
Yeah. And I think then he was talking about trying to get out there a little bit more, and,
yeah,
if I remember rightly.
That's right, yeah, he was talking about it, maybe go and try and do some slam poetry,
yes,
at events, and
yeah,
we said we'd go and watch it if we knew where he was going to go and when he was going to be there. And I think that's the key, you know, for Ryan. He's struggling because he's a struggling writer, as all writers are struggling until they get a break. And you just need to believe in yourself until you get that break.
It's quite versatile, though, Neil. I think we've heard quite a bit of different stuff from Ryan over.
Yeah.
We had a bit of horror.
Yeah. And now we've got this, which is quite inspirational, this, for people. You know, you see it all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
People who just, they just kind of curl up and let life take it over. You've just got to fight for your right to be there.
Well, keep going, Ryan. Use that imagination and...
Yeah. Keep on sending them in. Brilliant. Yeah. Love it. Thank you, Ryan. Superb job. Now, I'm going to... we set up Scribble for Kids, and we've never actually got a Scribble for Kids program off the ground because of everything else that's got involved. And we will do that when we come back in August. But Paul Griffiths, who we all know and love, the Birkenhead poet, did a poem for us for Scribble for Kids called I Hate. You might remember. I was here then, Neil. I thought we'd play it again just to remind everybody that we will be back with Scribble for Kids when we get back into next season's show.
It's an autumn project, Neil, I think.
It is. I think it is. So have a listen to this just to remind you all of what Scribble for Kids is all about.
Hi, Neil and everyone at Scribble. This is for Kids Scribble. It's called I Hate. I hate wasps and I hate bees. I hate all creepy crawlies. I hate sprouts and butter beans and being forced to eat my greens. I hate my dad's jokes because they're not funny and when he stops my pocket money. I hate it when my friends call round to play and my mother she sends them all away. I hate it when she tells me to have a bath and then she shouts that I cannot splash. I really hate it when she combs my hair when I've got those tatty little bits in there. I hate it when she sends me up to bed when I'd rather stay up and watch TV instead. I hate it in the morning when the alarm clock rings and I've got to tidy up my bed things. I hate my big brother because he treats me like a fool. But most of all, I hate school.
Still makes me laugh every time I listen to that one. It makes me laugh.
I want to ask Paul a question. I mean, does he write his poems before he does his homework? How old is he really?
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That was all a bit believable. That.
Yeah, the oldest school kid in the world. Greg, love it. Superb, Paul. Keep on sending him in, mate.
So what do we need to do, Neil, to get Scribble for Kids
off
the ground?
Well, we've got enough material now. We need to spend some time over our broadcast break recording some of that material.
Okay.
So we'll do that when we get back after our breaks in July.
Yeah.
Start putting lots of different programs together, recording lots of work that's being put in. We'll do a Scribble for Kids show. We'll get back to the Scribble show and start broadcasting that. So there's a bit of work to do when we get back off the summer.
So just
break.
To remind the listeners, it can be poetry written by kids.
Yeah.
Or it can be poetry written by adults for kids.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, either or. Doesn't matter.
So if you've got some stuff, send it in.
Yeah, get it on the Scribble for Kids page. And while we're away, carry on posting on the Scribble page as well, because when we get back, we'll be back with a vengeance, recording lots of work on there to get it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Now, talking of that, Gary James Spooner is one of the guys on Poet's Dream, and he posts quite a bit of stuff. And he sent me a piece through called Ages Past. He sent it through today. I had a listen to it and I thought this would be great for the show. Have a listen, see what you think, Steve. Go.
Ages Past by Gary Spooner. When the joys of life appear as a mirage in a far-off, scorched and desolate desert, rain down your words upon my parched soul. Let me drink thirstily from the fountain of your pen. Awaken in me the buried and archaic memories of lives once lived, where words were not cheap and lips revealed the true heart. Speak to me again, as we did before we died 1,000 years ago. My eyes alight upon your muse of that which fills your being. And once again, we will breathe sighs of understanding as the words unfold upon the scroll, the page, or the screen, undiluted from your heart to mine.
Well, just like to thank you, Gary, for sending that one in. Mm. It was a great one to add into the programme today.
Very good.
So, yeah, well done,
mate. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was really good. So we'll be picking up on more of the work of the people in Poet Stream when we get back after the summer break. But I thought that was a good one to put in for this week.
Just got the one this week, haven't we, Neil?
Just got the one this week. But we've got a couple of others who already post in two areas, on the Facebook page, on the SoundCloud page, and in Poet Stream. So there's quite a few of them in the programme mix this week. I'm going to play a new jingle for The World Comes to You. Alan sent it through to me because I complained, because I'm good at complaining. It was one of them rants of, it kept on saying the 9th of April. So I said to Alan, do us a favour, do us a new one. So he sent me this one through, and then he thought better of it. He said, don't play this until you come back. I'll send you a new one. And I thought, oh, well, what's up with this one?
There's nothing worse than somebody saying to Neil Fagan, don't do this.
Yeah.
I know that of old. What I want to know before we play it,
yeah,
is our boy on there?
And no, he's not. He's not. Not unless he's changed his voice.
Right, well, I don't want to hear it then.
Well, if you don't want to hear it, we're going to play it.
Okay.
Here we go.
No, there's no need for it. I was there, you know, with the missus, watching the Euro, or a few beers and whatever's. There's a knock on my door, and there's a geezer. He says, the world comes to you. Bit posh, he was.
The world comes to you.
Yeah, he was a bit posh. I thought, he's from the benefits office, you know what I mean? And then he says it again, the world comes to you every Saturday from 12 noon. He was at GMT, I thought. He's from the police, isn't he? Let's get our scarper. We didn't half run.
World comes to you every Saturday, 12 GMT.
You see, brilliant. I want to get into his head because there's something seriously wrong with Alan Johnson, isn't there?
If he's not taking drugs, he should be.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some great voiceovers in there.
We need to lift our game up, Neil.
Yeah,
because,
we do.
You know, we've got the same jazz entry theme every week.
That's right. We need to jazz it up.
Off-piste.
Yeah, I think we'll start doing that. So don't forget, while we're off air, get over to Poetry in Motion. Have a listen to The World Comes to You on a Saturday morning, and it'll brighten up your weekends while we're away. They're going to carry on broadcasting on that side. Now, Alan's done another reading for us for a guy called Warren C. Denson. It's called Broken Dreams. You might have heard this one before, but it's so good I thought we'd play it again. Have a listen.
Darkened rooms and nightmare fear. From these eyes flow bloody tears. This broken mind is so unclear. Nothing is as it appears. Piercing howl towards midnight. Demonic monster I must fight. My heart has lit the candle bright. Can't penetrate the blackest night. Shadows dance upon cracked walls. Little Red Riding Hood plays down the hall. Eyes of red, they do enthrall. Beating heart to me, it calls. Angelic wings, I start to fly. Rain of blood up to the sky. Satan's call, I do defy. Battle hordes before I die. Melting faces made of clay, sharpened knives start to flay. Evil laughter far away. This wicked clown has come to play. From my throat a curdled scream, drenched in sweat, a chilled bloodstream. Through the pain shine golden beams to send my soul these broken dreams.
There you go. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Scribble Show, you'll have heard Broken Dreams before. But it was such a great piece that I've been back through the archive and pulled a few out for this last show of the season. And that was one of those that made the cut. And I thought, yeah, it's pretty cool. And the next one that's coming up by Judy Lairsmith. Now, Michael R. Justice does a lot of the readings for us on the programme. And I did, I'm going to say the same thing that I said at the time. We didn't know that his sister was a poet, that Judy Lairsmith was a poet. And she's recorded this piece called Agreed. And Michael never really pushed it. He just said, maybe you'd like to have a listen to something my sister's written. It's a really good poem.
Good. So, she has been on before, though, Neil, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has been on before. Yeah. And I think this is a one. We've played two, and I think this is one of them that we've played before. But it's worth listening to again, especially when I went back through the archive. Okay. And I thought, yeah, let's give it a go.
I found myself in a tunnel, on a wind-blown tide breaking. I never bothered to ask the lingering question, never learned the wall's writing. A time came when the camera turned to the audience, blankly staring, some mouthing words, unimportant until things turned bloody, and the unexpected turn of the plot took place when the director revealed her blind spot, a love of silence. Something must be said, I thought, something like, can we all agree that the ice is melting? The director nodded and replied, where does that lead? A time comes when silence is betrayal, when seasons stagnate and the earth spins off its axis, when human beings are left to fend for ourselves, sprigs of divinity, clods of dirt, soul and skin and eyes and mouth, forced to look at our death, forced to star in our story when we would prefer to eat popcorn in the balcony. The moment was forced to its crisis. I searched for something to say worth hearing. Something to say.
A fine poetess is our Judy Lairsmith. Obviously runs in the family with Michael. He's a great composer.
They're both talented, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're extremely talented people. And he's linked in with Kara Johnstad, and Kara Johnstad's linked in with Christine Barker, you know, and all these people.
You name-dropping?
I'm just name-dropping now. You know, I feel like I'm a celeb. I'm a stalker. I'm a celeb stalker.
Yeah.
How scary is that? No. We're going to move the pace a little bit now. We're going to go to a couple of slam poets, a couple of favourite slam poets. So we've got Catherine Howe, who calls herself Barbie the Bard.
Yeah.
A piece that she did ages ago. We played on something like the third or the fourth show. I've pulled that out. Then we're going to go from her to Essie Yankee for a piece that that she did. But let's have a listen to Catherine Howe as Barbie the Bard first.
In the UK, 61% of families cannot afford to take their kids on holiday for 1 week a year. We'll die by the sword, but I'm filled with fear as to why this is not being explored, but rather ignored. This is untoward. Holidays abroad are rare. In fact, I know grown men on my estate who've never been anywhere. This is not fair when London is the sixth richest city in the world, and yet 4 in 10 children who live there live in relative poverty compared with the national average. I swear, these children are not being given due care. There's no au pairs for them in the nanny state. It makes me want to tear out hairs and declare the Lord's Prayer. What a waste. I'm scared. These politicians need to get out of their sedan chair lairs, stop talking hot air and being laissez-faire, and repair the wear and tear on our great nation, which is clearly in disrepair, as is much of our housing and tower blocks. where the pedos are browsing while the dads smoke rock. It's hard to conceive, but don't be deceived. We've all seen mums on speed, which they hide up their sleeve, wrapping up presents on Christmas Eve for their children to receive the next morning when they're still buzzing from last night. This is a warning. In towers of Babel, which loom at the hearts of these estates like petrified trees, and you can never leave. And tinfoil, stained with smack, drifts around the stairwell, all brown like autumn leaves. 16 floor monstrosities where needles are in pools of urine. And once you're in, you're in. You ain't going nowhere. Best just to grin and take it on the chin. Your face is white and silent like your Charlie Chaplin. There are 6 million souls living on council estates in Britain, all by the poor bug bitten, and many in properties that are isolated, run down and abandoned. But no one seems able to explain how this happened, like they just got put out there by some random bandit. Underhanded explanations which put poverty down to drug and alcohol dependency, family breakdown, poor parenting or a culture of worklessness are not supported by the facts. But back down to brass tacks. Work does not provide a guaranteed route out of poverty. It horrors me that two-thirds of children growing up below the breadline in our time live in a family where at least one member works full-time. This means that 6 out of 10 youngers has a parent whose job does not pay enough bread to keep the family well-fed. Bring me this silver spoon up his arse, head of state fast, and show him what I see out my front window. Then find me a pastor or a headmaster or someone who might have some clues as to what's going on here. Child poverty imposes costs on broader society, estimated to be at £29 billion per year. When I was just a beginner, my mother would sometimes have to eat meat paste sandwiches for dinner so we could live like lottery winners instead of 1939 West Berliners or sinners. Although occasionally I did have to rob next door's milk, as did many of my ilk. Some weeks it was a choice between milk, butter or bread, decisions which must have filled my mother's heart with dread and stomach with lead. And I took extra care of my brand new threads, because they were for my little sister to wear. Fucking hell, Shell, a quarter of a century later, and I can still hear y'all breathing down there from the top of the bunk bed. While I never had a school shirt that didn't come from Oxfam or a charity shop, we always had matching socks. But why should this be a shock? I also never owned a single item that didn't fit properly, and we never looked slovenly. We always had proper roast chickens on Sunday to munch and beef dripping to crunch, and McDonald's was a reward for special achievements, not lunch. If you are poor, then just remember this. Childhoods are blighted by poverty, but that doesn't mean you can't bring your kids up properly. Money does not buy you joy, a clean conscience, style, wit that runs deep, true friends to keep, a good night's sleep, a sense of humour, good health, a life free from rumour or happiness. It just buys you stuff, of which there's never enough. Which is tough, but don't take it too rough. Because for free, we get given the only thing which really matters, and that is love.
Well,
do you know something, Neil?
Go on.
I hope Catherine's listening.
Yeah,
because that is exceptional for me.
Yeah.
And unanimously, without any executive consultation with you, I'm going to give that poem of the week.
And I'm backing you. I'm voting for that. That is definitely poem of the week.
Yeah.
She is stunning. As the ramp master, she's going to be the best.
Yeah.
That was just well put together.
But it's such a truism, Neil.
It is.
I mean, you know, the risk of getting political.
Yeah.
All our politicians, whatever party they're in, they choose to ignore that side of life that Catherine's just described.
Yeah.
Because it's in every town and every city in this country.
Yeah.
And you just can't see it getting any better.
You can't. And I think she summed it up so well, the way she put it together and the delivery, the context of it. You could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Because we've all experienced it.
Yes.
You know, you and I were dragged up in the back streets of Manchester, so we know exactly what it is. What she's talking about. So deserved winner, poem of the week.
Absolutely.
That is for me.
Fantastic, yeah. Catherine. Yeah. Thank you.
Well done, Catherine.
The tangerine's in the post.
Yeah. Make sure you spit out the pips. Then.
Yes.
Right. Moving on to another slam poet, which is Essie Yankee.
Essie, yeah.
Essie's been on the programme before, and she produced this piece called Connect the Dots. Mm. I thought this was good to listen to as well. So have a look. Have a go at this one, Steve.
Connect the dots. I write on scraps and weathered pages. I jot down raps and picture stages. I write down dreams and go through phases. I wish to be a chain of daisies. Love me, forget me not. Cover me in lots of drops of tangled sticky knots of nature's nectar. Sweet sap drips. Ink's an ancient script. This letter to my heart sparks a one-way trip down a slow winding path through a beautiful park where the day meets the dark in the dawn of my mind. In the maze of my brain, I can travel through time. I can move in straight lines from today to tomorrow, through the rain on the plains and the rainbows that follow. I can jaunt back to the future, to the depths of the hollows, where the song of the swallows is played by Apollo. I can replay every living memory from this life, past lives, and even future histories. I'm travelling through centuries. My cells are filled with memories and fueled by past life energies. My ancestry genetically connected, see. I'm predisposed to memories and energies my conscious mind has never seen, has never felt, has never known. Subconsciously, I know these scenes. I see them in my restless dreams in deep REM sleep. Connected to these memories, I remain in this wonderful maze. Rewind, play, pause, fast forward. Memories are everlasting. Ever after, even after lifetimes pass and the atoms of the soul shell part, they move and fuse to form new life in new forms with new norms. But the day is the same day, and the dawn is the same dawn, and the sun sets in the same place, and the storms form in the same way, and the earth rests in the same space. I am but a speck, a dot. What is the meaning? Or at least what say I? Look for love, look for light, look for nothing outside. Look within, third eye, and you'll connect the dots. Oneness will embrace you as you perch upon the moon, taking in the view of this great spectacle we like to call life.
Another great piece.
Really, have we heard that before? No, I don't. I can't recall that one.
Yeah, well, I have played it once before. It was probably
it's probably on a show you never invited me on.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it probably was. It'd probably be about 4 weeks into the programme until I realised that I couldn't do this on my own. But I am the eternal optimist. But it's a great piece by Essie Yankee. You know what astounds me is the talent that is out there. Mm. You know, already we've heard some absolute stunning poets and stories and rhymes and the way everything's put together.
Yeah.
And they never, ever cease to amaze me with the stuff they produce.
You know, yeah, I agree, Neil. And this might be quite controversial.
Okay, listeners, say it.
Because nobody knows who I am. I'd like to get some new people got on. You know, we've got a lot of avid listeners who send us stuff consistently.
Yeah.
Where are the new people going to come from?
Yeah.
So my plea to our current listeners is, if you know other people who are interested in poetry or the written word, tip them off, get them involved, get them to send some stuff in. Let's get some new names.
I think it's a good call like that. Mm. And I'm not sure whether you're psychic or not, because today, Ryan emailed me and said he'd been talking to a lady called Bianca Alicia Barza. He was having a bit of a tough time of it. Right. And she'd written a poem and he recorded it for her. And he said, if you get a chance, can you drop it into the programme? I said, yeah, sure can. Listen to it. Thought, yeah, we'll have a piece of that.
I had no idea on that.
No, no, that was
spooky.
So...
spooky.
Yeah, dear listeners, he did not know this.
Yes.
Because it's not even up on the set yet. It's about another two or three down before we get to
right.
it. But good call.
I mean, I could tell you what the results, the Brexit results are going to be.
But can I go and put a bet on first? Let's get over to Betfred.
Put a minstrel on it.
So we're going to play first, before we get to that one, we're going to play a piece called The Old Jetty. Doreen Pearson, her husband Alan, who's deceased, has been wrote lots of poetry in his time. And she posted this one up. I recorded it. I think I recorded it anyway. I recorded it for her. And I thought it'd be really good to play this one. Have a listen, Steve.
Okay.
Doreen stood at early mornings on the jetty where rusty nails protrude through planks gnarled by 20 years of summer sun, then stared, entranced, at shallow water sandbars overlaid with restless nets of sunlight. Here is the place where father and son, in many summers past, pulled to life a coughing engine and made their way to One Tree Island, half across the lake. Here ghosts of fishermen long gone linger near this place where shadowed minnows shudder at a footfall, where scimitar flight of swifts slice at midge-filled air. This is the place for me, here at the shore, where dandelions, frayed medallions of sunlight, scatter abundance among pale clover and cool chicory. Some nights when I'm far away, among city towers that menace, I think about this corner of the lake, where raccoons lurk, and remember clouds that part to let moonlight spill and blanch across a row of silver birch, where nightbirds in their hidden places let go their repetitious chords.
I've got some breaking news for you, Neil.
Go on.
That was you.
You know, I had this feeling it might have been me. Is this a problem with being an old geezer? When dementia sets in, you can't remember what you've done.
Yeah, but having sitting across the table looking at you, and I got halfway through, and I still didn't think you realised it was you.
And I know it was me because I remembered it when I heard it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? The reason I recorded that is because it reminded me of when I'm down in Cornwall and you sat in the jetty looking out to sea and all the rest of it. No raccoons there, but
yeah.
I remember that. And then I
same
heard
vibe.
And I heard my voice and I thought, it's definitely me, that.
That's you.
But I just needed confirmation from you, that
yes.
was.
happy to audit your voice. It's you.
It's you. Okay, now, when we that psychic moment you had a minute ago about new people on the programme
mm-hmm.
and existing poets promoting new poets, which is what Ryan Woods has done, is coming up next. It's called Crimson Faith by Bianca Alicia Barza, which is a great name, by the way. It's a superb name, the way it runs off. And Ryan's recorded it. So
can we call her Babs?
Hmm?
Can we call her Babs?
Babs, yeah. I'm sure.
I'm on form tonight, Neil.
You are, you're rocking.
Good job, we're going to have a rest.
Can I have some of your tablets?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Crimson Faith.
This is a poem written by Blanca Alicia Garza, and I think if we all took this message in this poem to heart, we could make the world a lot better place. This is entitled Crimson Faith. Losing my faith in all of humanity, shedding of blood, sowing of hatred between races, creating barriers instead of bonds for a better world. Things are valued, people devalued. Our blood is all crimson in colour, our beautiful skin of many shades. We need to spread seeds of kindness, not more of hate. Joining forces, building bridges instead of walls. We are together in this world. We are destroying it by beliefs and hatred. Enough fallen angels without any fault. Stop the hate and spread peace and love.
See, that's pretty good, that. That's yes. a good, good message to get out there.
Absolutely. Very relevant at the moment with all the debate that's going on and all the trouble in the world.
Yeah, isn't it?
Thank you, Bianca, for
brilliant.
Sharing that with us.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Ryan, for recording it. Mm. Really good of you. Next up is a guy called Ed Michansky, and he's just done a collaboration book with Karen King, which we promoted on last week's programme. And I thought, well, we played one of Karen's last week and she did the intro to it. And this is one of the poems that Ed's written. I've listened to this. Ed Michansky. I know what thunder looks like. I stared into its face when I was trying to grow up to be a man. I know the name of the rain. It is the same name as my mother's. I know how lightning feels. It feels like a leather belt that didn't care where it hit you. I know what the wind smells like. It used to come through the rusted screens in the windows of a child's room. It smelled like other places, and not the place where I cried and bled. I know what books taste like. I used to kiss the ones that helped me stop crying. Books were the only kings or gods I ever bowed to. They took me to every place in the world and places that didn't exist. Books made me a man. The leather belt kept part of me a child. My friends were authors and characters. My life was their adventures. Until they taught me that I was strong enough to write my own. They taught me to see everyone as a book. Everyone has a story. Everyone is a place that never existed. Well, there you go. Now, I'm not quite sure whether that's in the book that Karen and Ed have written, but it was such a strong piece that I thought I'd put it in the programme today.
So I like that, Neil. I mean, I'm a big book lover, so...
So you can understand that.
Yeah, it appeals to me, that.
Yeah, that was really good. Now, Michael R. Justice has done a reading of a poem by David White, which David White wrote for John O'Donohue, and this is... it's called Secret Garden, which is really quite nice. So I thought we'd play this as well tonight.
There's a great spring in you. All bud and blossom and March laughter I've always loved. Your face framed against the bay, and the whisper of some arriving joke playing at the mouth. Your lightning raid on the eternal, melting the serious line to absurdity. I look around and see the last days of winter, broken away for all those listening or watching, all come to life now, with the first pale sun on their face for many a month, remembering how to laugh. But most of all, I love the heft and the weight and the swing of that sea behind it all. Some other tide racing towards the shore or receding to calmness where no light or laughter lives for long. The way you surface from those atmospheres again and again, your emergence seems to make you a lover of horizons, but your visitation of darkness shows. Then away from you, I can see you only alone on that strand walking to the sea on the north coast of Clare toward the end of an unendurable winter, taking your first swim of the year. The March scald of cold ocean, even in May, about to tighten and budge you into spring. You look across to the mountains and Connemara, framing only for now your horizon. You look and look and look beyond all looking.
colourful piece. Really nice, isn't it?
Love the music as well, Neil.
Yeah, it just loves it. It just moves you along.
It's persuaded me to go home and have a weed at ham.
Or again. Again. We do that regularly here. Okay, moving on. As time moves on, it was incredible. We did a piece by Ken Allen Dronsfield, I Died Today. And it meant such a lot to me that I've dug it out of the archives and I've brought it back for one more session.
Okay.
So have a listen to
it. Yeah, I remember this very well.
Yeah, this was good. Ken Allen Dronsfield, I Died Today. I think I died today. Staring at the blank walls, a knife, a fork, a bottle and candle lay before me. The raucous sounds of blaring horns, screeching brakes and people shouting, echoing from the sweltering streets below through my shaded open window. The smells and hell of the city permeate the entire room and the fan in the corner just quit. But I think I died today. I laid there on the old mattress, sweat running down my face. I dozed off for a bit and awoke in lovely fields of green grass with white crosses all about. I stood and watched friends of old toss roses of red into the hole of darkness landing upon a casket. I think I'm there, tucked inside, wearing my dark grey suit, white shirt and hated tie. Oh yes, I died today. I just don't know why.
I don't know what it is about that, but I just love that piece. I Died Today. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Just if I think back to all the programmes I've been involved with, Neil,
yeah,
and somebody said, you know, well, just give me one poem that you can remember, yeah, that would be it.
Yeah.
I think it struck a chord with both of us at the
time.
Yeah,
it did, yeah. It was really good. So it was superb.
Who was the guy reading it then?
Just let me think. His name's on the tip of my tongue. You got a mirror? If I can see him, I'll remember.
Yeah. I just thought I'd remind you again so you get used to hearing it, recognising your own voice.
So let's play a piece by Greg Tin. It's called We Are Same. When silence doesn't impinge, whisper. When a whisper isn't heard, converse. When conversation doesn't solve, argue. When an argument gets heated, shout. When shouting is rejected, fight. When fighting hurts, shoot. When shooting misses, bomb. When bombing causes silence, no more world. Think on. Talk, not take. Create, not hate. Solve and evolve. We are one. If we're sane, we are sane. There's a couple of themes there running through in this world that we live in now. It's better to talk than start shooting and fighting and all the rest of it. So great piece that by Greg Tim.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
Now, we're moving up very close to the end of the programme now. So we've nearly been going for our hour slot.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's flown by. And I've picked one that I thought we'd go out with. Which Alan Johnson wrote. It's called Miss Me Not, which he wrote. I thought for two reasons we'd play it. One, at the time he wrote this, he was going in for his bypass operation. And two, for the fact that we're going to be off air for 6 weeks. So rather selfishly, I've pinched it and thought we'll play this, Miss Me Not. Let's have a listen to it and then we'll have a chat after.
Okay, Neil.
I am down and sad before me, no comfort anymore. And should I die before I wake, I will have lived my sins afore. Miss me not this day or night, I am here with you, though not in sight. I cannot feel the warmth of the sun, nor joy that cometh as day is done. I cannot change this wretched day, but I am here, for this I say. miss me not, this day or night. I am here with you, though not in sight. My journey has begun. This travel before the dawn. Forgive me forever, for my heart is pain and torn. Miss me not, this day or night. I am here with you, although not in sight. Miss me not.
There you go. What a good way to play out the programme. Mm. Miss me not.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be taking our break. As we said, we're going to miss all our scribblers, our listeners and our writers out there. But we have this summer break every year where we take a broadcast break for 6 weeks. Mm. Just recharge our batteries and look at how we're going to put the shows together for next year.
Yeah, have we got a specific date when we're back on air, Neil?
No, we haven't yet. I'll post it on the Facebook page. It's likely to be the third week in August.
Okay.
When we come back on air. So it'll be the third Friday in August.
Yeah. I won't like us to come back and record and then find nobody's listening.
Yeah, well, that might happen.
It may be happening now. Who knows?
Yeah, they might have already switched off. So, miss us not.
Yes, miss us not.
So it's been a great season. We've had some great programmes. I was looking through it. We've been going for somewhere in the region of 25, 30 weeks in total. Okay. Which has been a good run on this season.
Yeah, it's
not bad. And when we come back in August, we'll be getting prepared for the autumn and the winter months where we can really brighten up your evenings then.
I've ordered a new donkey jacket.
Yeah, and you'll need a woolly hat as well. I'll pick you up a donkey when I'm down on holiday.
Okay.
We'll turn it into a jacket in my shed.
Okay.
So that's it from Steve and I. It just really remains for us to say thank you very much for all you scribblers out there who are writing pieces for the programme and for all you listeners out there who are taking the time to listen to the drivel that you and I come up
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
It's been great. We've enjoyed every minute of it and we really look forward to getting back to trying to entertain you in August.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the meantime, we hope all our listeners have a fantastic summer.
Yeah, have a brilliant summer. And as we say each and every week, may your God or your gods go with you. Good night.